Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for what people shared here today, God, the things that you're asking for, from parents to sickness to their friends' salvation. And God, we know they're big prayers, but Lord, I believe we worship a supernatural God that isn't just within our own limitations. And God, you use us to do some really cool things. So God, we're asking you that you would do these. And Lord, I pray for anyone in this room that, God, if you're moving them today to be a prayer leader at their school, just one other person, God, that you would just give them the strength to do that. And God, I pray we worship you now in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you know, summer camp, we talked all about fear. The past two Sundays, we've been talking about the biblical characters who chose faith in their circumstances in the midst of fear. You know, these circumstances could have produced fear in their life, but they took on the challenge. So today we're talking about the mother, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And as I started here, it was really cool just to see how she really took on courage. She took on faith in the midst of fear. And I want you, this is a really simple fact of what I want you to understand about Mary is this. I want you to understand why. I love the why. Why Mary was able to choose faith and obedience when she could have allowed her fear to take over and she would have missed the divine opportunity that God had for her. So just understanding why, like why could Mary choose faith in the midst of fear? Just to set the stage here, Mary, we're gonna be in Luke chapter 1. We're going to talk about how the angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her she was going to bear Jesus. So Luke chapter 1, but set the stage. Mary is probably 15 or 16 at this point in time. So again, raise your hand if you're 15 or 16 in here today. If you're 15 or 16, that would be the same age. That's crazy to think about, the angel Gabriel coming to you. And Mary's betrothed to Jesus. If you don't know what betrothed means, it means like they're engaged. Basically, they're engaged to Joseph. They're kind of like a lower middle class Jewish family. They're faithful followers of God. They're working. They're probably going to the synagogue. They're just doing everyday life. Like they're faithfully following God. And then all of a sudden, Luke chapter 1 happens. And so we're going to read it together. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation or greeting this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and his name shall call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." So just picture this. She's like going on, just kind of living life, doing the things she's doing, and then all of a sudden, boom, this angel comes to her and says, "You're going to bear Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world." I think this completely altered the course of her life. And I think some of us could kind of get how she feels when these things, God brings these things into our life that just invade our lives that we're not ready for. And they're not always bad, but it could be things like a friend at school who reaches out for like help and wants to know about our faith. You know, it could be an opportunity to be a part of a mission trip. It could be a family member who's sick or needs help. It could be an opportunity to maybe be on like a leadership part at a group at school. It could be being in a group of your friends and they're like, ask you about, "Oh, you're a Christian?" Or God calling you to take maybe a step of faith and be like, "Hey, I'm not going to date for a year." Like there's a million things, and these things that God brings in our lives that sometimes we ask for, sometimes we don't, and they alter the course of our life. And so I think we can probably just a little bit understand in some ways how Mary feels. You know, we're just going about our nice, simple life, and then God kind of does this 180-degree turn. And, you know, we can be fearful because of the unknown. A lot of times, we don't take the divine moments that God has for us. It's not, the main reason is because we just, the fear of the unknown. We don't know what could happen, so we fear. But Mary chose faith and obedience when she could have allowed her fear to take over, and she would have missed the divine opportunity that God had placed on her. And so I want to look at Mary's life today with you guys. And I hope you're just thinking about divine opportunities that God could bring in your life this coming school year, this week, today, and go, okay, if I want to not miss these divine opportunities that God gives, let me take some things from Mary's life and apply them. So it's crazy that in Luke 1:26 says that she's the favored one. Clearly, Mary was favored by God to be the one to carry in her womb and birth and mother Jesus Christ. So I wonder if to some degree at first, Mary thought, man, this is a burden that I don't want to carry. Like, this is too heavy. I wonder if that was one of the first, I don't know, but I wonder if that's one of the first thoughts that came to her mind. I think for some of us, you know, God brings these things in our lives and we're like, God, that's too heavy. I don't really want to be favored by you. I'll let the favor go. I'll let it pass. But God's like, she was favored. And so I think we can all feel like sometimes it feels like being a Christian at times can be a burden. Because like God calls me to these things. And they're too heavy for me. Lord, I don't want to do them. You know, it could be the fear of what people will think of us if they knew we were Christian. How we'll be treated, what we'll have to sacrifice in our lives. I'm going to have to sacrifice all these things that I want to do. We have these thoughts come into our head. You know, the life we wanted seems like it's gone now because we have to be a Christian. We're going to live a boring life. And so we sometimes maybe in our minds, if I'm honest, sometimes we wish that God's like favor and calling us on his purpose. We wish that that would pass. But you know what favor means is his approval or his support is on us. And God's approval and support was on Mary. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more. But, you know, even though this new mission for Mary could have caused fear, this is what the angel Gabriel says to her. He says, there's no reason to fear because you're favored and the Lord is with you. And this is a promise that I know when we ask questions in small group, like, what's a promise that you remember about God? The biggest one that always comes up is God is with us. God will never leave me. God will never forsake me. And that's the one that comes up to me a lot and that we claim. But do we really understand what that promise means? I think if we really understood what that promise means, that he will be with us, is when circumstances that could bring fear, instead we go, no, God is with me and he will be with me to handle this situation. That's what it really means that God is with me. It means that he will walk me through this. He will give me the mental, the physical, the emotional strength that I will need to walk through this. It means we can't forget that God is fighting for us and that he's working supernaturally behind the scenes. And so that's what the angel Gabriel encourages Mary with, to go, you're favored, God is supporting, his acceptance is on you, but also God is for you. His approval and his support is on you and he will be with you. He will fight for you. And then in Luke 1:29 it says, We can be comforted, though, to know. I love that we can be comforted. Let me open up to real quick, Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 1. If you got it, open up with me. I don't have all the verses on the screen. So if you got it on your phone, if you got it on your Bible, open up so you can follow along. Luke chapter 1, I'm looking at verse 29. So the angel comes to her, he says, greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And then verse 29 says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. You know, I do like when I read about people in the Bible and I realize that they're human. I think Mary, you know, it says that in the NASB, it says that version of the Bible says she was perplexed. Perplexed means completely baffled or very puzzled. You know, I think she's like, she's like any of us would be if an angel came and speak to us, like, what is this all about? What is God saying? What's going on here? And so I think she's trying to kind of like pull it all together and realize what's going on. But what I like is that, and what I think we can take from Mary's life is that she doesn't react to the situation immediately. And I think we could all learn to be like this. You know, I know that I'm quick to react. When God brings something in our lives that's maybe hard, maybe difficult, maybe we don't fully understand, he's calling us to do something, we quickly react and it's like, no, I can't do that. No, God, can't do it. We quickly react. But I like that it says that she was perplexed and it says that she pondered. She wondered what this greeting might be. The word pondered is in the NASB, and I like that word because it helps us to understand. You know, for us, we can be perplexed when we know that the Holy Spirit is moving us to do things that maybe don't feel comfortable. You know, maybe completely out of our comfort zone. Some of the things that you guys shared today and here, those are things that move us out of our comfort zone, and so we're perplexed by them. We're bewildered. We're baffled. We're like, God, I don't get it. I don't understand exactly what you're doing. But it says that she pondered it. And you know, I think in the age of technology, when we got smartphones and we're connected, honestly, it's really hard to ponder. It's really hard to just stop and think. You know, if you're like me, it's always easy just to pull your phone out. It's always easy to put your earbuds in. And none of that stuff is all bad, but I think sometimes we don't even have time in our brains to stop and think and ponder. And so the first point was that the Lord was with her and she trusted this. The second point is that she pondered her situation and didn't react immediately. Like maybe when I said something about being a prayer leader at your school, maybe God said, that's what I want you to do. And you're like, nope, can't do it. Too much. Don't have time. Not bold enough. Don't have any Christian friends. I don't know. The list could go on. Take a minute just to even ponder like, okay, God, could this be what you're calling me to do? And that's what I liked that Mary did. So the cool thing is that sometimes I think we're scared to stop and think. But you know what? If you think back to if you went to summer camp or if you've been to winter camp, you know, when we remove the distractions, we have a little bit of time to ponder. God speaks to us, right? Like with Josh. All of a sudden, you take some time. We block 3 hours out. God speaks to him and says, here's a whole plan of how to reach your friends. And so I think in a really simple way, Mary's reaction to the angel appearing challenges us to simply just sometimes think on, to ponder what God says to us, his purpose, his mission, some of the divine appointments that he has for us, instead of just moving on and going on. And this isn't just a one-time event in Mary's life. In Luke 2:19, it says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And what she treasured and pondered in her heart was that the shepherds came to her and said, your son is Jesus. He is the Savior of the world. And they told her what they had seen in the sky. So this was a lifestyle that Mary had. She was willing to stop and ponder. And sometimes I think, again, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Let it just sit there for a little bit and think on, okay, God, what is the mission you have for me? What's the purpose? What's this divine appointment that maybe I think is really hard, but God, maybe this is part of the mission that you have for me. And so as we look in verse 30, it says, but the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. So the third point is Mary's faith in a divine moment is that she found favor with God. And this is it, a righteous life mattered to her. Gabriel senses this fear, and I don't think it's all bad. I think she's like, there's an angel in front of me. I'm kind of fearful. Like, what's this going on? You know, it's a healthy fear at times when we meet God, even if it's good news. And I don't think any of us are going to meet an angel, and they're not going to tell us that we're going to raise the Son of God. Well, that would be really weird. And then he was already born, so that wouldn't happen. But God will use different circumstances in our lives to tell us what he wants us to do really clearly. And sometimes that'll bring about fear because we don't know exactly what's going to happen. The fear of the unknown, the fear of what could happen, the fear of leaving everything, the fear of my comfort. And Mary felt this fear. But the angel Gabriel comes to her and he says, it's because of the way, Mary, that you have lived your life that God has found favor on you. Mary's life, her life was based on two things, love and obedience. Love and obedience. She chose to love God. What does that mean? She placed her will, her convictions, her emotion, her attitudes, in all that, she chose to love him and place that on God. And because she loved God, therefore she obeyed him. And she had a righteous living. And it is her righteous life that Gabriel says is the reason she doesn't need to fear. Like, let that soak in for a minute. The reason that the angel Gabriel says you don't need to fear is because of her righteous life that she had lived as she obeyed God. She doesn't need to be afraid of what could take place or what could happen or have fear in that moment because she knows that her life is backing up what she believes. This is what 1 John 4:18 says. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. I'm just going to throw this out there. As you look at God's truth and his word, he's saying, I want you to follow me. I want you to obey me. I want you to love me because I have some really good things for you. And I want my favor to be on you. And you know, if you walk with God, and it's not about being a perfect person or just being a good person, but if you walk in the ways that he has for you, you will notice that God's favor is on you. Even as I love how Jonathan shared, because what he was basically saying is, as he was seeking to obey God, those around him had favor on him. He was just obeying God. He wasn't trying to do anything spectacular, just simply obeying him and God's favor there. You know, God saw this young woman, Mary, who faithfully in everyday life chose to obey him, and he had favor on her. You know, in one way, there was nothing special about Mary and ultimately Joseph, but their consistent faith and their obedience brought favor from God. And because they sought to live how God desired, they had no reason to fear because God's favor was on them. So I just want to say this. Don't underestimate the power of a righteous life. Don't underestimate the power of you walking with God in an everyday way. And I'll say this too. In living a righteous life, both your mind, what you believe about God, and your body matter. How you actually obey the Lord. In a righteous life, both your mind and your body matter. This is what James 5:16 says. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And here's what it says. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I have always loved that verse because in some way, it's a really simple truth that God says, if you will live the way that I desire, your prayers are somehow powerful. And so I just said, okay, God, I want to live for you, not because I want to like ask you whatever I want, you'll just give it to me, but because then when I pray for things, God, you're hearing them and somehow they are powerful as I'm walking with you. That should be a challenge to us. So let's think about it like this, and this idea of God's favor. She found favor with God and a righteous life mattered to her, and it was because of that she had faith in a divine moment. Mary's past, her past life, affected her future. God looked at her life in the past and said, you have righteously followed me, therefore my favor will be on you, and you will bear the Savior of the world. You will mother him. It was because of her view and attitude towards God, it affected her decision. She placed her faith in God, and therefore her actions were God-honoring. So my question is this, I want you to think about, how is your past affecting your life right now? For some of you, you're saying, forget it. My life's been so jacked up, there's no way God could have favor me. But my encouragement to you is, God is in the business of redeeming. Look, think about this. It was a woman who was the one who took the fruit from Satan first and brought sin into the world. But it was a woman who birthed the Savior of the world. How cool was that? That's, you know why God did that? That's redemption. That's what God's into. He's into redeeming lives. And so if you're tired of living in fear, if you're tired of always walking around wondering, what are my parents going to say? What are my teachers going to say? Does God really love me? What about today if you're like, God, you're in the business of redemption. Redeem my life right today. I'm giving it over to you, Lord. I know that the way that I live matters to you. And God, in a way, I want your favor, Lord. I want to walk with you. So God is in the business of redeeming. So just know that your past affects your future. It's never too late to change. And God is like, as you walk with me, my favor will be on you as you live that. And then goes in verses 31, you will conceive, this is what the angel says here, he says, you will conceive and give birth to a son and you're to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. So, Mary hears what's coming up for her, like what her mission is, what this divine moment is. You know, we don't probably fully get this because we didn't grow up in a Jewish tradition, but I mean, basically, it's taking the entire Old Testament and saying, you're going to be part of the Savior of the world coming. And that's what they were all looking forward to. So it's hard for us to probably fully grasp that, but in this divine moment, that's what he says to her. And then he says, behold. That's a word we've heard in the Bible, we really don't say ever. It means observe, see, witness, regard. What the angel is saying to her is, behold, this is what's going to happen. If you will obey, if you will in faith say yes, you will conceive the Savior of the world. And sometimes that's what God's saying to us. He's saying, behold, I'm telling you what to do. I'm telling you, this is the mission I have for you. This is the purpose that I have for you. These are the divine moments that I put in your life. And I know you don't have all the answers. I know you don't fully get it and it seems really scary. But behold, and just watch and see, if you will walk with me in faith, I will do some cool things with you. God was going to do a supernatural work. And this is Mary's next question. I like this. She says, how will this be, Mary asks the angel, since I am a virgin? I'm not going to give you the whole birds and the bees, but the reality is, if she was a virgin, it means that she has never had sex, and therefore, how could she bear the Savior of the world? And what I like about this is, I'm actually first kind of astonished that Mary could ask this question, because I think in my mind, if an angel was in front of me, I feel like I wouldn't even be able to process everything and ask that question. I'd be like, yes, okay, whatever you say, I get it. But she asked that question. And you know what? As I read this and was thinking about it, I hope this isn't too far of a stretch, but I think this can show us that God is not afraid of our questions. God is not afraid of our questions. But I want to put a little caveat in there. Sometimes what we do is we go, God, I'm going to live however I want. I don't really like the way you want me to live. I don't really care about the righteous life. I'm going to live however I want, and then I'm going to ask you questions like, are you really real? Do you really do anything? And I think at that point, God's like, well, you showed me before that you didn't really care about me, so why are you asking these questions now? But Mary, on the other hand, she's like, okay, God, I believe you. I'm going to walk with you faithfully. I'm going to follow you. And then when she asked the question, God's like, yeah, you're faithfully following me. I'll answer these questions. I'll show them to you. And so I want to challenge some of you today to go, I know you have some questions for God. I want to encourage you and challenge you. Take God's word seriously. Take the way that he wants you to live seriously and be righteous and following Jesus. And then be asking those questions, because I don't think he's scared of them. And I think he wants you to give you a really real answer to some of the questions that you have. And so the point four is she asked questions while still living for God. And so sometimes when the moments of fear come and we're scared, Mary had faith in the divine moment because it was okay for her to ask the questions while still living for God. And so she asked this question, you know, how is this going to happen? I'm a virgin. How can I conceive this child? And so the angel gives her this answer. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. Not Elizabeth Johnstone. And she who was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month. But you know what? Wait. I'm going to get there. Hold on. For no word from God will ever fail. But hey, there's an example here. Hold on. Follow me here. So the angel gives her a really simple answer. And this is basically his answer. God is going to do a supernatural work. God is going to do a supernatural work. That was his plain and simple answer. For no word of God from God will ever fail. In another version, it says, with all things, with God, all things are possible. In America, we have some of the best scientists, mathematicians, doctors, creators of the greatest technological inventions. But I think in so many ways, it's caused us to think, and if you're like me, I think this is true, it's caused us to think that we can solve any problem. We can just figure it out. We can create a formula, we can create a pill, we can create an invention, we can solve every problem. And I think all those things are good. I really do. I think all those things are good. I think God gives us the brains to be able to create them. But they've caused us to forget that God is supernatural. They've caused us to forget that God is supernatural. Sometimes, I know you've heard this before, but it's true. We put God in this box and we're like, God, you're right here. This is what you can do. You can't do it. You can only work in these boundaries, these circumstances. And God is like, I'm bigger than that. Like, stop thinking that I'm just God. That I'm supernatural. And that's what the angel Gabriel says to her. Mary, you know the way it's going to happen? It's going to be supernatural. And I'm not saying getting into weird things. We're thinking that God, I don't know, putting God doing all kinds of weird things. But what I am saying is that God is a supernatural God, that he doesn't live just within our own boundaries, that he is supernatural and he does things. And you know what part of that is God changing some of your hearts. When God takes a heart that is a heart of stone and changes it to a heart of flesh, that is a miracle and that is supernatural. So Gabriel proclaimed to Mary she could conceive and birth the Savior of the world because God would do it supernaturally, do this work in her. So the mission and purposes in hard times that seem impossible, which God gives us, are real, and we can fear all the possibilities, or we can trust that God is supernatural and that he works in ways we can't fully understand and comprehend. But that doesn't mean he's not real. And so Luke 1:37 says, for nothing will be impossible with God. Does this mean that the things that we do, that there won't be some bumps in the road? No, it means that sometimes they're going to be hard. Sometimes what God calls us to do, when he calls us to stand, you know, Marshall, you talked about you want to reach your friends on the football team. That's going to be hard sometimes. It's not going to be easy. But God says, with God, all things are possible. Nothing will be impossible with God. So what that does is, when we realize that God is a supernatural God, it puts fear in its proper place. Because we're going to fear, but it puts fear in its proper place and goes, I don't need the fear of this God, because you say with you, all things are possible. If you've called me to do it, you will do it. Now, we shouldn't use this to go, okay, I can use it for my own selfish desires. Let me, you know, God says, no, I want you to ask him, I will. And when I put something on your heart to do, I will walk you through it. So will we trust our God is bigger than what we can see or what's right in front of us? So the fifth one is, she stepped out in faith to believe nothing was impossible with God. Mary's fear was turned into faith because she believed. She took God at his word. You know, she was perplexed, and yes, she asked questions. She didn't know how it could physically happen, but she believed the angel Gabriel when he said, nothing is impossible with God. Romans 8 says this, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I mean, are we going to believe it? It's really what it comes down to. Are we going to believe it? That if he says, if he's for us, who in the world could be against us? It's just real, and it's just true. And Mary said, I believe it. Okay, God, I believe it. So this is what she says. This is awesome. She says in verse 38, I am the Lord's bondservant. May your word to me be fulfilled. So Mary says, look, I'm a bondslave is one who has the ability to be free from their slave master, but chooses to come back and be under him. Mary says, God, I am your bondslave. You are my leader. I will humble myself before you. I don't know all logistics. I don't get the whole future, but Lord, I will walk by faith. And she says, let it be done. Let something that I don't fully know and I've never seen happen before, but let it be done. Matthew 16 says this, then Jesus told his disciples, if any of you would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will repay each one according to what he's done. Mary said, if I try to save my life, this is going to be weird, because if people see that I have a baby in me, if they see the bump there, they're going to start wondering, well, geez, what happened to her and Joseph? Guess they didn't stay pure until marriage. She had to accept that. She also had to accept that she was going to mother the Savior of the world. And there were some hard things that she didn't get the whole thing, but she said, God, I get it. If I try to save my life, I will ultimately lose it. But God, if I lose my life and say, God, let you take control of me, I will gain life. Because, see, part of the thing with Mary is she could have chose fear, but instead she chose faith because she said, God, let me lose my life and trust that you have something really good for me. You have a plan. You have a purpose for me. So in 39, in Luke 1:39 through 45, Mary goes to spend time with her aunt. And while there, her aunt Elizabeth confirms, yes, this is the Son of God within you. And so this is how Mary ends. This is called the Magnificat, if you've maybe heard of that before. And it's Mary's song. And it says, actually, I got it on the screen, I think. So the fifth point was she willingly placed herself under God's leadership. And this is the Magnificat. And Mary said, my soul, this is Mary. This is it. This is her faith coming out. She obeyed God and she walked in. And this is what she says about God. My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. God's favor has been on me. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, and he has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, and he has sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel's servant in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. So this is like the culmination of Mary going, God, I believe you. I have faith in you, and saying, these are the things you've already done, and you're going to do some awesome things. And I love that in there it talks about fear. It says, now all generations will call me blessed. The mighty one has done great things. And he says, if a generation will fear me, I will do great things amongst them. And so God's going, will you not fear? If I'm for you, who can be against you? You don't need to fear anyone. Fear me and walk in my ways. And as God's going to bring you guys this year to some hard things in your life, to some divine moments in your life, as we just look at Mary's life and we kind of say, here are six things. The Lord was with her and she trusted this. She pondered her situation and didn't immediately react. She found favor with God. Living a righteous life mattered to her. She asked questions while still living for God. She stepped out in faith to believe nothing was impossible with God, and she willingly placed herself under God's leadership. So that's just Mary's life. Hope and encourage you to see how she kind of lived, you know, amongst this divine moment that could have brought fear. And I pray that you guys are taking something and going, here's how I can apply this to my life. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for us. And I'm going to give you just a moment of silence to go, Lord, would you be wanting me to step out and be a prayer leader at my school? And then as I'm praying, the worship team is going to come up. And if you want to do that, put your name down. You know, take that step today. So I'm going to start us off in prayer. I'm going to give you a moment. And then I'll finish at the end as you're kind of praying about what God would lead you to do with this message.